started today. Auto financing the easy way.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Studio located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, hump day, Wednesday, August number 8 in the year of our Lord 2018. Glad that you are there listening wherever you are across this big blue orb of ours that we call Earth. I've got my coffee here, I've got my cigar. Yeah, I'll light up later. Don't worry about it. There was a story. Now, folks, you got to understand, leftists are getting really... I mean, if we think that they're nut jobbery now, we ain't seen nothing yet. There was a story over the weekend in one of those ultra-liberal left wing nut jobbery eco websites, you know, kind of pretty close to was it Mother Earth Jones? Yeah, everybody knows how wacko Mother Earth Jones or Mother Jones, whatever it is, magazine is. Well, this was something that's an eco magazine, online magazine thing, and it was talking about how, well, here in the USA, smoking or utilizing tobacco products was on the decline, except for cigars. Now, the height of the cigar craze cigar usage has peaked a couple of years ago. You remember that it was just all of a sudden cigars started to pick up and cigar shops are popping up all over the place. Well, I'd been smoking cigars long before the cigar craze anyway, so I was smoking cigars even before it was currently cool, thanks to, I'm going to admit it, thanks to Rush Limbaugh. I got started. I tried to, you know, had somebody give me one, give me an Ashton. No, I take it back. It was a Dunhill. It was a beautiful cigar. But in any case, and then I went out and thought that I had to spend this kind of money, and the first cigar that I purchased, real cigar I purchased, was an Ashton. Yeah, I don't do that too often. For those of you who don't know, Dunhills are like a Supreme cigar. You know, they're at least $15 a stick now if you can find them. Ashtons are also not exactly cheap, averaging probably between $10 to $15 a stick. Just to give you a little bit of a base. So somebody gave me a Dunhill. Yeah, great. Wrong kind of cigar to give somebody for their first time. Well, one, because, you know, everybody's going to think, well, this is what good cigars are like. And, no, there are a lot of good cigars, but they're not all Dunhills. Just saying. You know, it's like trying to get somebody interested in wine. The worst thing you could possibly do is give them a glass of Lafite, you know, 1962 or something, because they're going to expect that's what wine is like. And the wine has a lot of... Should start towards the bottom, yeah, a good bottom, and work your way up. Don't start at the top. You'll ruin a person that way. But anyway, so I started off with this Dunhill, and I got hooked on it. It was just a smooth flavor. And I tried it simply because I had just started listening to Rush Limbaugh. And he was big on cigars. He's nowhere near as big on cigars today as he used to be, just so people know. But that's how I got started in cigars. It was listening to Rush and somebody giving me a Dunhill cigar. But this story was referencing the fact that cigar smoking, tobacco smoking, period, but especially cigar smoking, because it's picking up all, you know, in much of the Western world. You go to Europe, Europeans are smoking more cigars than they have in the past. Is contributing to global warming. I kid you not, cigar smoking contributes to global warming, according to this eco warrior leftist nut job website magazine thing. Everything is, if man is doing it, everything causes man-made global warming or climate change. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. And yesterday's show, I went over a lot of this stuff about the climate change vernacular, and these people are just wacko. They're hypocritical. They're out and out liars. I'm not even sugarcoating it. They're just plain lying, and they know it. Not to mention, some of the most hypocritical people on the planet that I know of are leftists. And some of the most hypocritical leftists I know of are these so-called eco-warriors. Remember when they had that protest up there in the Dakotas against the pipeline? They got so bad up there that even the Native Americans, who didn't actually own all the land that the pipeline was supposed to cross, asked them to leave, and they wouldn't leave. You know, the Native Americans were saying, well, I thought they were here to help us protect our land, and they're ruining it. And when they finally did leave, they left tons of trash behind, strewn everywhere. It looked like a war zone. But they were there protesting a pipeline so they could protect the environment. The same thing, we saw this time and time again with all the Occupy Wall Street movement protest things. Remember Occupy Wall Street under Obama? Anybody remember what Occupy Wall Street was about? Oh, yeah, under Obama's economy, college graduates couldn't find jobs, good-paying jobs, let alone jobs in their graduate field. Now, most of them had useless graduate degrees anyway, so it didn't really matter. But those who had useful ones couldn't find real jobs to help them pay their enormous college debt. That was their excuse for rampaging and pillaging through downtowns and main streets all over the country, called Occupy Wall Street. It was Obama's economy, and they wouldn't blame him, so they tried to blame Wall Street for this, because Wall Street wasn't hiring them. Wall Street didn't need them, nor did they want them, because they didn't have the skills that Wall Street needed. So that was the whole problem. And they camped out in a lot of these places, in a lot of cities, and they overstayed their welcome by, they stayed a week, they overstayed their welcome by 6 days. In any case, yeah, it got so bad that even Starbucks, whenever a Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street movement came to that town, all the Starbucks within that area would remove its furniture and most of its goods and products from the shelving, because they didn't want it stolen or destroyed. Starbucks did that. Now, when these people picked up and packed up and left, well, they didn't pick up and pack up and leave. They just left. And we saw tons of pictures of the messes that these wonderful little leftists left behind. And by the way, we also know that, there were at least three in these Occupy Wall Street movement campouts or camps, whatever. There were at least three murders. Now, this is various all across the country, though. That's not just in New York City. There were at least three reported murders. I don't know how many reported rapes. Now, remember, these are people that are supposed to be leftists that are supposed to not want to do that kind of stuff. Live and let live, and, you know, all sex is rape, so you don't want to have sex anyway unless you get, you know, the double, triple okay from the girl, that type of thing. And we had a number of rape reports from all over the country. Robberies and thefts and muggings. Crime rates wherever these Occupy movements set up tents temporarily took a spike upward. We know this. It was all being reported. Believe it or not, the lamestream media actually kind of sort of did its job back then. They reported a lot of this stuff. So it's easy to find. But they left a mess. I thought they were all about peace and harmony and leaving the earth better than when they left. And then, of course, you know, you get people running around taking pictures of, you know, events that were held by those in the right, the so-called alt-right. You know, the Tea Party has a rally. And what happens when they leave? Well, lo and behold, people get pictures and video of the spots where the Tea Party holds their events, and the place ends up being cleaner after they leave than when they arrived. And it happened over and over and over again all over the country. Didn't matter where Tea Party's events were being held or right-leaning events were being held, the parks, the streets, they all were as clean or cleaner than before the event started. After the event was over, it was a sparkling, clean area. But I thought we hated the planet. Those of us on the right thought we hated it. We didn't leave a mess. We didn't commit murders or rapes or robberies or muggings. All of those events happened during leftist protests. And it continues today. When Barack Obama was elected and then reelected, what did the right side do? Oh, well, yeah, we went out, we broke windows, storefront windows, and burned a limousine. Oh, no, wait, sorry. That was the left when Trump won. What did the right do? Well, we sort of doubled down and went to the polls, and 2 years later, we elected a lot of Republicans. That's what we did. Heading into the midterms, you think the left would do try to imitate what we did 8 years ago? You know, we didn't like Obama. He passed Obamacare. He forced through Obamacare. We didn't like it. So 2 years later, we gave him the biggest power, one of the biggest power peaceful power changes in world history. The Democrats got shellacked. So you would expect that this would be a reverse or a repeat of 2008 and 2010. And that the leftists would go to the polls en masse and just make a flip the switch back to the left in Congress. It doesn't look like that's happening, though. It doesn't. I know if you watch CNN, look, folks, sometimes I have to watch this stuff, these clips, and I got to tell you, I am now an experienced, if not formally trained, I have learned in the streets and in the gutter how to do this. So I am a real world trained professional at this. And I can pick out when people are lying to me on TV, and I can see when they're putting hope on their sleeve and vomiting it out. And let me tell you, after, you know, watching so many of these clips and from CNN and MSNBC and certain, you know, news stars like Don Lemon and Chris Matthews, and who's the gay pretty boy? Anderson Cooper. You know, I listen to these people, watch these people, and sometimes they get to me, and I start to, well, maybe they might be right. Wait, no. Nope, they're not right. Because what they're saying doesn't make any sense, because I already know the facts that they're twisting. Now, we were supposed to see by now a backlash against Trump. Has anybody noticed a backlash anywhere? By the way, for those of you who are big Ocasio-Cortez fans, I know many of us here, many of you who listen to this program, you're a fan of hers because you think she's a comedian. I know, because sometimes I'm not sure if she's serious and she's that much of an airhead or she's just a comedian. I'm not sure which profession she's trying to land here. Is she trying to be a politician or is she trying to be the next Rosie O'Donnell? It's fascinating. Anyway, she evidently has fully and wholeheartedly and even campaigned for five different candidates in different races across the country. There were four of those candidates were up for election yesterday. All of them lost quite handedly. So you could say getting the endorsement from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is like putting a nail in your coffin. I am sure that these people are now probably going to start running away from her. I want to endorse you because I like, I think that you're pretty cool. Get away from me, girl. No. You endorse me, I lose. But all of them. Four out of the five that she evidently, this is stories I'm getting. She's wholeheartedly, openly endorsed and campaigned for five of these candidates. Four of them were, their elections were yesterday, Tuesday. All four lost. So there are people, even myself, who was a little bit concerned that the Democrats might let their party be absconded by these leftist socialist Democrats. Well, evidently, the Democrats themselves, the voter, don't want to go that far left. Because these people are being thwacked. They're being smacked back into reality. They're not winning. But along with that, even though Ocasio-Cortez's people, endorsees, are not winning, as I've said before, most of the Democrat candidates, I mean, they get a couple of wins here and there, and they want to tout it like it's the end of the world for Republicans. The big picture is they're still losing. Now, there is no possible way for us to say that, they should, but it's not going to happen that Republicans are going to win 100% of these races. It's just not going to happen. I mean, there are too many of these races are happening in places that are, they were designed to be liberal enclaves. You know, certain parts of inner cities, the way that the districts are designed, it's going to be nearly impossible for, the way those districts are designed, it's going to be nearly impossible for a Republican to win. Not impossible, but nearly. So you would expect that Democrats would win in those types of jurisdictions. So that's why it's not going to be 100% win anywhere across the country. But ever since Trump was elected, I mean, he's been in all, a year and a half now. I haven't seen any numbers, but just looking at all the races that have taken place from a local to a nationally known level, we're winning probably three quarters of the races. At least 75% are still going Republican. The Democrats aren't really gaining any. They're not really losing any net seats, but so far they haven't really gained any either. And we were supposed to see this massive flip because everybody hates Trump. You got Rosie O'Donnell on the coming out of hiding on the news the other day talking about how everybody just hates Trump. And the Russians rigged Trump, and nobody wants the Russians involved in the U.S. elections, and the Russians are this, and Russians did that. And the problem is that everybody knows that the Russians tried to help Hillary more than they tried to help Trump. So all this stuff is falling on deaf ears to the American people. You want to know why this is falling on deaf ears? Look at those economic numbers every week. That's why it's falling on deaf ears. Ohio, however, I guess it's they're calling it for the Republican, I do believe, but some are saying it's still too close to call. It's only like a 3-point spread or something, less than 3,000 votes. separate the two. But 100% of the precincts are reporting. So all of that should be done. So, you know, not much of a chance of cheating there now, I guess. Cheating's already been done. Now the focus is on, in Ohio, all the absentee ballots that are still out there that need to be counted. Now that's where the cheating is going to come in, folks. Because there's the number of absentee ballots that are out there that have to be counted are slightly more than the vote difference so far in that race between the Democrat and the Republican in Ohio. So it is highly possible that the Democrats pull some shenanigans because everybody was focused on this race in Ohio. And I'm thinking to myself, when did Ohio become such a harbinger of things to come? It's the lamestream media who decided to pick out because it was the biggest race of the day, you know, as far as the status of the position that was being run for. This is a traditionally Republican seat. Now, first of all, let me just point out something. There is no such thing as a traditional Republican or Democrat seat. The seats do not belong to the Republicans or the Democrats. The seats belong to the people of that particular district. So I don't care if the people decided that they wanted Republicans more often than Democrats or vice versa. It doesn't matter. It doesn't belong to those parties. The seat belongs to the people to do with as they see fit. But we were looking at, or the lamestream media was looking at this race as the harbinger. Now, forget all the other races where all these other names and highly endorsed people on the left were falling left and right. They're falling by the wayside. None of them were winning. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Let's just focus on this particular race is going to tell us exactly what's going to happen to Trump in November. And Trump's going to lose. Well, first of all, Trump isn't on the ballot in November. Any more than when you told us that Obama was not on the ballot in 2010. Well, Trump isn't on the ballot this November. The reality is really, Trump isn't on the ballot. The leftists will try to, and the lamestream media will try to tell you that this is all about Trump. No, actually, it's about the Republicans. Because think about many of the Republicans that are losing their primaries or losing their general election, wherever they are. Many of them are anti-Trumpers. So this isn't about Trump. This is about Republicans. And the American people telling the Republican Party, get on board with Trump's agenda because we elected him to do his agenda and he needs help. And you're not doing it. Notice how the rank and file Republicans out there have really disliked Paul Ryan lately. Because Paul Ryan is not a big supporter of Trump's agenda. He's not. And the American people know it. Now, this is not a this November election is not going to be a referendum on Trump. Don't listen to anybody tell you that it is, because it's not. It's a referendum on the Republican Party, the GOP. And those people who seem to jump on board the Trump agenda don't have a problem winning. So we'll have to see how it all plays out in Ohio. But that is not a harbinger for Democrats of things to come should they pull the upset and win, but not by far. I think the Democrats are going to be pleasantly, unpleasantly shocked. Or maybe not. Maybe they already know what's going on.
You're listening to The Rod Echols Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Here at Side, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America is eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Are you trying to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact. Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf, even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
9742. So I got the story right here in my currently cigar nicotine stained fingers about Ocasio-Cortez. It's hard not to pronounce her name. Why, you know, people ask, well, why do you pronounce her name that way? Because it's hard not to. It's kind of like you just can't say Antonio Banderas. You have to say Antonio Banderas. It sounds cool that way. And believe it or not, it sounds cool when you say Ocasio-Cortez. She's not cool, but the name is. I'll give it to her. The name is pretty cool. Not gonna deny that. Something about Latino names that just causes you to talk like this. Not making fun of them at all. Not at all. I actually kind of like them. It gives you a chance to be a little bit more worldly, shall we say. But socialist superstar. I don't know. Who's calling her a superstar? Not even a star. The woman's a total certified airhead. Is this what the left is? This is what, what do they call it? Are they Democrats, socialists, or socialist Democrats? I don't care. Either way, it's the same thing. But this is the type of person that they view as being a star? Well, if you've ever tried to talk to millennials, especially the younger millennials, she's their poster child. I'm not kidding. Especially when it comes to of things of note and importance, she's just it's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it is so empty upstairs that those people like myself, who have the gift of gab and a firm control of the English language, often stutter to try to find the words because we just cannot believe anybody could possibly be, 28, 30 years old and be that vapid. It's such a shock. And they're supposed to have degrees, college degrees. Okay, this is what you expect out of a high school freshman. Not out of a Boston University graduate. But in any case, they're calling her, the socialist superstar, socialist star Ocasio-Cortez. Strikes out all endorsed candidates lose in yesterday's primaries. Yes, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's record on Tuesday night for her chosen primary candidates was as bare as a Venezuelan supermarket shelf. That line there is directly comes to you direct from Kyle Olson of the American Mirror, of theamericanmirror.com. That is one of the more accurate yet funny lines I've seen in being used in a report on politics. Let me repeat to you. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's record Tuesday night for her chosen primary candidates was as bare as a Venezuelan supermarket shelf. Remember now, Maduro just admitted last week that it was he and his party's fault for the Venezuelan economic debacle. And now they're saying that they tried to assassinate him. Now, keep in mind, the violence didn't come anywhere near him, but they were trying to kill him. The brief bit of, he may not be wrong. I've often said whenever these people like him go out in public, how do they ever survive? I mean, you would think that the people, well, because people don't have weapons, that's why. It's only government officials have weapons. So it makes it a little difficult for people to get to them. But in any case, the socialist, Ocasio-Cortez, pulled off a stunning victory last month in New York. And there's still, well, I have to take the American Mirror to test. Wasn't the total tally of the number of registered Democrats who actually went out to vote in that? It was less than 10%, right? So when you look at the numbers, it wasn't a stunning victory. Basically, she just got all her high school buddies to go out and vote for her. That's what won. Some people may be saying, well, you're exaggerating. I'm not too far off of that. The number of votes that took place that day in the Democratic primary in New York District 14 was pathetic. It was beyond pathetic. I mean, why do you think that the Democratic Party the power brokers aren't concerned about Ocasio-Cortez. Why? Because they looked at the numbers too and said nobody voted. She's far from, you know, yes, we have to, the Democrat Party has to look out for being pulled too far to the left, but she's not the one that's doing it. They don't have to worry about her. I'm telling you right now, the Democrat Party is not worried about her. Now, she may win, God forbid, in November. I mean, that is a strong possibility because it is a strong Democrat enclave, and we have too many people that whatever they see that D or the R, that's who their candidate is going to be. It doesn't matter who the candidate is. And as I've said here, you know, there have been it hasn't been often, it's been rare, but there have been times when the Democratic candidate has said and sounded and acted more conservatively than the Republican candidate. So I had to vote for the Democrat. And in the instances where the Democrat that I voted for won, we were better off in this state, tell you the truth. Because the Democrat was the one that wanted lower taxes, not the Republican. It was a Democrat that was standing against instituting a state income tax, not the Republican. I know it was backwards, but sometimes it happens, which is why you can't vote a straight party ticket. But most people in districts like this do just that. So they're going to see the D, and they're just going to pull the lever for her. And that's the scary part. Wasn't there a state that was trying to get rid of the party straight party? There was somebody. I can't remember who. They were trying to get rid of the straight party ticket off the bat. I think it was my state. But it failed. It failed anyway. I would tend to agree that being able to vote straight party line ticket with a push of a single button or pull of a single lever should be abandoned all over the country. You should be forced to pull the lever and know the names of everyone. Just don't walk into a booth and say, oh, yeah, Democrat, Republican, I'm done. There's no thought in that. Not at all. Not to mention it really makes it easy to cheat. Now you get a illegal voter that comes through the door. All they got to do really quick is, hey, you don't got to know any names. You know, okay, Juan, you don't got to know any names, okay? All you got to do is go in there and push the D button, okay? And you'll be okay. You see, all I have to do is push D, okay? And then they walk in and boom. Yeah, I believe with all my being, we need to get rid of straight party line ticket voting. Because in most, 99% of the areas anyway, the only way you could, only the Democrats and Republicans have it. You know, independents don't have that. Libertarians don't have that. Not that libertarians or independents, you know, populate every race. But then again, when you look at your ballot, some races go uncontested. Just a single person. Now, look, I've seen on my ballots here where I've seen the person, a single person running, and they're listed both as a Democrat and a Republican. I have no idea how that happens. I scratch my head at that one. And how can they be running? Well, because the person, nobody's running opposed to them, and somehow they're able to get on the ballot as both a Democrat and Republican. So they win either way. They get the vote either way. Yeah, I got 100% of the vote, man. How the hell do you get 100% of the vote? Well, you get 100% of the vote because you have, you know, party line voting. And if you're listed as a Democrat and a Republican, so it doesn't matter if a person comes down and presses the button for D or R, you're going to get the vote. Now, that's a bunch of BS. But that's why we need to get rid of that. But in any case, Ocasio-Cortez. The Democrats really aren't worried about her so-called stunning victory last month in New York. But she's now attempting, very poorly I might add, to parlay that win into helping other equally airheaded leftists win Democratic primaries. Well, evidently it's not working out all that well for her because she actually went on a whirlwind tour of the U.S. stumping for Abdul El Said for governor of Michigan. Fairuz Said, or Sayed, of Michigan's 11th congressional district. Now, notice these two are, yeah, you got it. It's not just their names, not that they're Arabic, but they're full blown Islamic Muslims. I know that's a double there, but that's to put it into context exactly who they are. If I'm not mistaken, El-Said actually believes in a form of Sharia. Well, they both believe in a form of Sharia law, but El-Said actually believed in the Hajib burqa law. Was it the governor of Michigan that was for that, or was that? I'm not all that familiar with either one of these characters because, hey, it's not my state. But I do remember that, you know, reading reports that one of these two does like the idea of at least the head covering, the headscarf. And that, of course, they both are lying when they say that, well, you know, Sharia law is compatible with the Constitution and we should adopt it wherever people want it. It's not compatible. But they both lost, thank God. I don't know what the hell Michigan was thinking. But they both lost. And Cori Bush in Missouri's first district and is backing congressional candidate Kanila Ng in Hawaii, who isn't their elections in Hawaii hasn't happened yet. They're coming up. But El-Said lost his bid for the Democratic nomination for governor. He only got 30.5% of the vote. Saad, S-A-A-D, not S-A-Y-E-D. He came in fourth in a five-way race, only getting 18% of the vote. Cori Bush lost her primary with William Lacey. She only got 37% of the vote. She's not doing very well. In other words, I think now if Ocasio-Cortez wants to endorse you, you're going to probably get some Democrats saying, no, stay far from me. You don't endorse me. But Hawaii's Ng's election or primary isn't until August 11, next week. And evidently, the numbers out there in Hawaii don't look good for her either. But stay tuned. We'll see how well or how well she fares out there in Hawaii. You never know with Hawaii. By the way, the volcano in Hawaii is still going. And the reason why you're not hearing a whole hell of a lot about it from the lamestream media, not because it's old news and boring, because it's something that is absolutely fascinating. What they got? The volcano's already created, 900 acres, new acres of Hawaii or something like that. It's an incredible feat. It's changed the coastline of a part of Hawaii. I mean, it's a real permanent change. I mean, there has been enough quote-unquote land created now that it's going to be a permanent change to the Hawaiian coastline. So you can mark the dates. This is pre-eruption and post-eruption Hawaii now. You can 2018. You can see that you're going to be able to see the difference from satellite photos and things. It is that noticeable. But the one of the things I've said about it is that, well, the lava's red. The lava's red. Maybe Mother Nature is trying to tell Hawaii it needs to have a red wave flow over it. Because the blue wave out there, it's destroying that state. Folks, I mean, it's just wherever Democrats have been in power for any length of time, I mean, a substantial length of time, it's nothing but destruction. The great city of San Francisco has been brought to its knees by an overabundance of feces on the street and used needles and syringes strewn about. They have to give some of their workers hazard pay, city employees hazard pay, to go clean up that crap. Literally, clean up crap. Tourism is down in San Francisco because everybody knows what's going on there. It's all over the world now. It's an embarrassment. Chicago, you've got blacks peacefully protesting in the streets against Rahm. Notice this now. Peaceful protest. Anybody remember the last time that there were blacks peacefully not Black Lives Matter. When blacks were peacefully protesting the status quo of a white leader, Yeah, civil rights, Martin Luther King, 1960s. It was eerie watching this march and this protest. You know, the vast majority of them were black people demanding Rahm Emanuel do something or resign. Because they finally had enough of black people, especially black men, young black men, dying in the streets. And they're tired of being shot. Was it last week? 72 people were shot. But 19 people, was it total 19? 19 people died? I stopped calculating and counting the deaths in Chicago by gunfire. This is ridiculous. So they're protesting in the street peacefully. No problems. They want to get rid of Rahm Emanuel. Now notice when they want to get rid of Trump or some Republican, they can't do it peacefully. They got to march, they got to shout, scream, intimidate, beat up, bash, trash, break. And when they leave, you got a mess. A bunch of black folk marched peacefully, said their piece, demanded that he resign, demanded that somebody do something about the overabundance of violence in especially predominantly black neighborhoods in Chicago, and they went home. And they didn't leave a mess. They didn't leave a trail of destruction. And it was barely covered in the news. Why? Because you had a bunch of black people protesting against their white leader, who's an Obamaite, by the name of Rahm Emanuel. Who's a Democrat. I've tried to give Rahm some advice. He wouldn't listen. I told him if he wanted to stop all the violence there in Chicago, all he had to do was invite David Hogg and his minions to come in and protest against, you know, criminals having guns. We should make laws that criminals can't have guns, right? Take the guns away. And by the way, most of that shooting that's going on, they're not using assault rifles. Oh, no, they're using simple, easy-to-hide, toss-away, throw-away, relatively inexpensive handguns. Yeah, nearly an assault rifle in sight. Well, it's a little difficult to shove an assault rifle down your pants. You know, that's where all the thugs like to put their guns, you know, put it in their pants. A little difficult to do that with your assault rifle. So they're not using them. So they go out and get handguns, little ones and big ones. You stick them in their pants, walk around like they're all badass, pull out the gun, you know, and try to shoot people. And usually they have very terrible aim. And innocent bystanders are the ones getting shot more often than the person that they're trying to target. Honestly, I mean, you know, honestly, you know, all kidding aside, they really do need to practice their shooting. Look, if you're going to be a gangbanger, you're going to want to shoot another gangbanger. Get your aim right so innocent people who aren't in gangs don't get killed. And you don't waste bullets. I mean, bullets, after all, are not cheap. I'm just saying. And some people are thinking that I'm going to be that's callous and that's no, I'm being dead serious. I mean, it is amazing how many innocent people, especially children, who are not members of gangs at all, or even they're even in their house, they're the ones that get struck by these flying bullets and killed because these idiots, these jackoffs, can't aim a freaking gun. But I don't see David Hogg going over to Chicago. He seems to like to stay in white bread suburban America when he's doing his anti-gun tour. He's not going into, I haven't seen him yet go into any minority neighborhood or predominantly minority populated area. No, he hasn't. And he's not gonna. But yeah, chicken shit? Yeah, he's a chicken shit. But mostly because a lot of these people in these, we'll run them out of town. Because a lot of these people don't have the ability to defend themselves because they live within, in certain city limits that severely limit their ability to get firearms to protect themselves, like Chicago. And these people have had enough of that. They can't afford to move, so they got to stick it out. And unfortunately, some of them don't live long enough to stick it out. So this whole thing about there being a blue wave in November, I'm not saying it can't happen, but all real indicators do not point to that type of fantasy for the left. Do you really think it's going to be a blue wave even in Chicago when you have a very large, predominantly, traditionally, over the last 30 years, Democrat voting bloc that is coming out and saying, we're sick and tired of you effing Democrats. Do something about the violence. You caused it, and now you're not fixing it. When you have President Trump's approval ratings among black Americans go from 8% on Election Day to 29% last week and rising, I mean, that's almost double in a year and a half. That doesn't bode well for Democrats. Now, when you've got somebody who supports you, they're more than likely going to vote for you and people like you. Why? Because, believe it or not, blacks aren't lazy. They like having jobs. And every month it seems to be recording a new record low in black unemployment. They like that. It's called opportunity. And when they get the opportunity, they work just as hard as anybody else. When the ability to choose between gang life and work life, legitimate life, these blacks are choosing legitimate work life. You know, some gangs in some cities are having a hard time recruiting new people because teenagers are finding jobs. They're off the street. Called opportunity, folks. But yet, probably, according to Democrats, the most racist president in our country's history is delivering big for blacks and Latinos. And yet, people like Rahm Emanuel, who constantly claim that they're for the minority, aren't doing jack for them. People have had enough, and they figured it out. Not kidding. Hang around, folks. We'll be back. Intel Report up next.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh, no, not the garage.
Later that same day.
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.